I am here. Great to be here, Andrew.
Hey, good to have you, sir. Good to have you. Welcome back. Let's start with this. Let's start with good news, because we don't always get to start with good news. I sometimes save good news for the end, but we have a good news thing coming. The Bellevue Library is going to have its opening tomorrow, right?
It is. We're going to cut the ribbon at 11, and I got to tell you, it's been a hard push the past two and a half weeks. We have our library staff and others, actually from facilities and actually public works even, they've been working 60, 70 hours a week. They were working last night. The drive to the end to get it where we want it to be is it's been a huge effort by everybody, and I certainly appreciate all those efforts. But I think it looks fantastic. I walked through it Monday. I was there yesterday afternoon. And it's going to have a little bit of something for everybody. And when it comes together, and it's coming together pretty quick here at the end, it looks fantastic. I've taken some folks through there just to look, just because I wanted their opinion. And I know they'd give me an honest opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved it. They loved the layout. They loved the amenities of the library. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good resource for this community, and so we're really excited about it.
Yeah, no, it's and look, it has obviously come in significantly over budget. You know, whether that could have been avoided or not is at this point maybe a little bit moot. But you know, maybe don't build a library during a pandemic. But we started this before we knew there was going to be a pandemic, right? So it's not like we can go back and change that. One question I had: I think the board punted for now on the automatic distribution machines, the vending machines way of getting people their library materials. That's a decision that's going to come back to the board to look at again, right? That hasn't been decided.
Right. That's right. Yeah. It may come back. We're looking at it. You know, it was pretty expensive.
Yeah.
To put those in, and the theory behind it, I guess, was, you know, you wouldn't have to wait in line maybe to, you know, deal with the folks at the desk that you check it out that way, check books out that way. But I think some of the concern was, you know, well, if it's inside the library after hours and the library's closed and locked, do we really need them? If they have to wait for the library to open anyway.
Right.
So that was some of the concern, and that, and of course, the cost.
Right.
It was pretty expensive to do that.
And I did actually, it's kind of interesting. We got Little Caesars the other day, and Little Caesars on 9 Mile in Creighton has an automated like kiosk. And he said, I asked him, I said, has this been worth the money? He's like, oh my God, it's been fantastic for me, because on Fridays and Saturdays, the line's out the door, and people order on lines like 30 to 40% of their business. And I was impressed, you know, they just slip it in there and then people can order, you know, take it out automatically. So I was thinking about the library when I was watching this happen. But I'm with you. It seems like it would be helpful for peak times or for if the library is going to be closed times, but it does seem like a fairly high-end product being the first one in, you know, our area to be able to put that in. So, you know, we'll see what they come back with, obviously. You know, I have to confess, I said this the other day, but I'll say it again. I had misunderstood what we had accomplished with the rainfall and the floodplain, and it turns out it doesn't have anything to do with what Santa Rosa County has been doing in trying to update their rainfall maps to the newer data. It was a very technical thing having to do with FEMA and the National Flood Insurance Program. But nevertheless, Joy Blackman was saying that they are working on her. She's working on bringing back a way to implement the updated rainfall data into our land development code. That's right, right? That's something we are working on towards the end of the year. Is that right?
That is something we are working on. She is actively pursuing that. And, you know, Joy is great. She, you know, it's always collaborative. You know, we'll bring in some of our development community, our design community, and kind of come at this from a collaborative effort, because it will impact our design standards. And so we always want to take that input and come together as one, if you will, and bring that initiative forward. But I think it'll be a good thing for us. It will make things better. It's not, now, you know, one thing people think of, you know, it's 2014 and Hurricane Sally, you know, those are 24, 25 inches of rain in 24 hours. You're going to have flooding in those events.
Of course.
It is what it is. But some of these lesser events, it will absolutely help.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, basically what people are concerned about is, you know, it's a one in a 100-year flood, but when you're having them every 3 years, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the point is we need
right,
to, you know,
right.
building our design standards and our requirements for subdivisions around a more realistic picture of the frequency of these events, which is going to cost more money for, you know, developers, obviously, and probably for the county, too. But hopefully it alleviates some of that. And like you said, not the catastrophic events, and it'll help with those, but it'll alleviate the more routine events. This core EMS, David Torcell talking to the county commission last Thursday, it is frightening to think about where we are at with opioid abuse and having overdose calls. And how soon is it going to be when we can implement this plan?
Well, I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. I know, you know, Dave was talking about waiting on the money to get here. And I think Commissioner Underhill made a very good point when he said, you know, we know the money's coming. We can front the money and get you started. And then, you know, we can reimburse ourselves when the money gets here. So
yeah.
I think Dave will get this thing stood up and get it. I know him, and I do nothing. He's pretty aggressive with these types of things, and I think he'll get it stood up probably, I would say, by mid-October at the latest, if not sooner.
Great. And by the way, it seems like, you correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not just a human service benefit. It's not just a saving lives benefit and getting people the treatment they need. That's all true. But I'm sure you guys have looked at the numbers, and it seemed to me likely that this would actually be a cost savings for the county, because we would be freeing up EMS resources in the process of this working the way it's supposed to work. Am I reading that right, that it's not even going to cost, that it's going to recoup enough back to us that it'll be worth its while? Is that accurate?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Absolutely. I think it will free up some of our EMS crews to run, you know, critical calls. And then with this other crews doing the core program, and listen, I hope this thing is very successful. I really
Amen.
Do. I want this thing to be successful. I think I've mentioned before some scenarios that I've run into just in my daily errands, if you will, with people that dragging people out of cars and laying them out on the parking lot, and the deputies rolling up, and then even at Baptist Hospital, they pull up and drag them out of the car and just leave them laying on the sidewalk. It is surreal sometimes, the things that you see, and it's amazing that that's become our norm, and that's not what we want. So I hope this program is extremely successful. And if anybody can make it successful, I know it's Dave Purcell, because he is very passionate about public safety and about opioids and overdose. He's very passionate. So if anybody can make this successful, I'm sure it's him.
Same. I completely agree, and certainly share your optimism. Wes, you know, with the it looks like it might be averted now, this railroad strike that was going to have catastrophic effects on the country in general. I had more the local question. There's all kinds of weird effects, like getting chlorine into clean water, you know, for example, is one of those rail delivered kind of things. And how would that work during a strike? Were you guys building contingency plans? I assume you must still have them in case the strike actually winds up happening. What kind of impact would a rail strike have on Escambia County?
It would be, of course, supplies, you know, construction supplies, mainly for our contractors, especially. I mean, we're still having extreme difficulties getting supplies in lumber, for instance, special types of lumber. We're having a hard time getting those, having a hard time locating it, for one, and then having a hard time getting it here. And so, you know, anything industrial type like that we would utilize, whether it be in HVAC systems or what have you, just the delivery of those supplies, the materials would set us back. I mean, we already have a hard time. You know, we have a hard time even. We order something now, we might get it this time next year, and it's really set us back in several areas. And it's hard to plan. It's hard to estimate because the longer it takes to get it, it seems like the more expensive it gets.
Yeah.
If you want it, you know, if you get it any sooner, yeah, we might get it to you sooner, but you're going to pay for it. So it's, yeah, anything that gets delivered to us, mainly for our construction projects, it would set us back.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, something you had mentioned to me that you wanted to talk about a little bit, is that y'all are looking for drivers, speaking of transportation needs, in public works CDL, right?
We are always looking for folks in public works that hold a commercial driver's license. But what we've done is we're partnering with Pensacola State College. Pensacola State College has put together a state-of-the-art CDL program, commercial driver's license program. And so what we're going to be able to do, we can hire you in without the CDL, but then we can assist you and put you through that program and attain your CDL. And we'll be able to do this starting about mid-October. And, you know, you'll have to commit to us. But that is a huge thing, because once you have a commercial driver's license, you pretty much have a career for life as long as you take care of it.
Right.
And it's a big thing. I'm very appreciative of Pensacola State College and their willingness to work with us and partner with us. They've been just great to work with. My public works director, Jamie Higdon, and my labor relations manager, Nikki Powell, went over there yesterday, and we're just very impressed with the facility. It is state-of-the-art, and so we're looking forward to the success of this program as we move forward.
Most definitely. Oh, hey, I said last thing, but this is actually last thing, because I had a couple people ask me about this. The signs on the Bay Center, when Michael Capps came and talked to y'all at the beginning of August, he said repairs would begin mid-August and be done by the end of the month. Well, here we are mid-September. They're not done yet. Do you know when to expect those signs to be done?
I don't know when exactly. I do know they are in the works. It's kind of like what I mentioned a minute ago. It takes a little bit of time to get these things in these days, but they are in the works. They have been procured, and purchase orders have been issued, and we are in, underway, if you will. But I'm not sure on the exact time frame.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I didn't know if you might have any better insight, but I know, you know, a lot of times you're just at the mercy of the stuff that you need. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, as always, thanks for the work you do, and thanks for the time today. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you.